friends, I'm turning to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'm reading verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 7. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Well, that's the starting of the chapter. I want to explain so that we are benefited from it, friends. And my question this morning is, why do you go to church? And that's the question you have to think about, my dear friends. Why do you go to church? In this passage, we have two women who all went to church. They went with an entirely different motives. And one was blessed, the other was unblessed. And I really wish that you would not be that kind of person who will go to church and not be blessed. My dear friends, I'm aware that it's entirely possible, especially in these days because of what is happening, to simply go to church and expect a kind of entertainment. And then when you have had a good feel of the entertainment, you will think, well, this is I'm blessed. Well, I do not mean that kind of blessing, because entertainment in God's house makes you worse off, because you leave and we are very sure you would go back and never know a real blessing of the Lord in bringing you to Himself and to walk with Him. And so we're not talking about that kind of thing. Well, if you will be blessed in the house of the Lord, you must come properly. But let me also say, I'm also aware that none of us go to the house of God properly until God Himself helps us. We never go to God's house because, you see, we don't even know what to expect there. We don't know why we go there. So I'm aware. And so my concern is not let you feel bad if you are not in the house of God for the right reasons. Because as I said, all of us will need a kind of help from the Lord before we go to His house properly. We have to be shown, Proverbs says, Ecclesiastes says, we have to be shown the procedure, how we go and how to benefit from there. If we do not know the procedure, you would really be here and yet not be blessed. And so, my dear friends, but I have to let you consider the question, why do you go to church? And I wish I can help with some answers. Now, there's a man called Elkanah in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. This man was a Levite, and he married two. He married two women. He shouldn't have done that. In fact, the event that happened in 1 Samuel chapter 1 is to quietly point us to the fact that he should not have done that. He should not have attempted marrying two women, but he did. And so in his house, there was trouble. In his house, one of the women, it appears, the younger, called Peninnah, had at least four children. We do not know the exact number, but his children are described in the plural. And so plural for the girls, plural for the boys. So a minimum of four children. And this woman became very proud. And she saw that the other woman, who was called Hannah, didn't have children. And so she, Peninnah, the one who had children, began to make fun of the other. And her purpose, sadly, you would be surprised to realize, her purpose was to make the other woman fret. That means to make her anxious, to make her worry. Her purpose of really teasing and sometimes doing all kinds of things to her was to make her anxious and worried and troubled. That was her purpose. You wouldn't think that anybody will have such a plan in mind. But the reason why we read this passage in verse 7 is this. Verse 7, if you can read that again. And as he did so year by year, he, that's the husband, Elkanah, did so year by year, when she went to the house of the Lord, that's the wife, Hannah, went to the house of the Lord, the other, Peninnah, she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. You know what is happening? She was not doing that even at home alone. She would do that when they went to the house of the Lord. This was strange. So that, well, of course, everybody tries. Even sometimes some of the worst persons try to behave well at church, isn't it? I may be such a terrible person at home, but at least when I go to church, I try to put on some angelic behavior. But this woman didn't care for anything. right in the house of the Lord, she will find a way to tease Hannah and to make her weep and make her fret. So the Hannah was so anxious. So when the time came for the husband to offer the offerings, and it must have been one of the offerings the Israelites offered. It's called the peace offering. In this peace offering, a part of the thing that was offered is burnt to God, and then a part is given to the one who offered it, and so he eats it. And so this man, Hannah and his family will be eating it, and Hannah will not be able to eat anything, because this woman is really teasing her. Most probably, I'm sure, as we know, when rivals want to tease the other, probably she even displayed her children in such a way to let Hannah feel her loneliness. Because here she was, with her four or so children around her, perhaps making all kinds of fun around her, and Hannah will be sitting alone. And she was entirely unable to eat. And so that was quite sad. And the concern is this: how could such a woman do this? That a Peninnah goes to a house of the Lord, not to worship, not to hear, not to do anything for a prophet, but to tease another, and to make another become anxious, and to make another person worried. Friends, you may not do exactly the same thing, but I'm afraid you may go to the house of the Lord with similar wrong attitudes. Maybe you go, and nowadays it's possible. I'm sure you know. Let me tell you something, you may not be aware of this, you know. Genuine Christians are most careful how they go to the house of the Lord, particularly because they don't want to be an offense to other people. But when you do not know the Lord, in fact, it's the house of God, it's the place you want to go to show off a bit. People want opportunity to show off in the house of the Lord, and to show perhaps what they have, and things like that, in the house of the Lord. This is strange. And sometimes some people do this in order to let people who are poor, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there were some people who were doing similar things, and the apostle had to warn them and say, do you want those who are poor to feel poorer? Are you going there to show off and to show what things you have and what you can give and things like that? So that the poor person feels so poor because he's not able to match up to the kind of competition that is going on and things like that. And so, friends, we can go to the house of the Lord for the wrong reasons, so that you will not be blessed, my dear friends. It's certain, if you go to the house of the Lord for the wrong reasons, God will not smile on you. God will not bless you. Don't let anybody fool you. I see the pastor has some kind of influence over God, and even though you went to the house of God for the wrong reasons, he's able to somehow pluck from the hands of God some blessing upon you simply because he went, or because he is powerful, or something like that. Don't believe any of those things, because they are not true. No one has that influence upon Almighty God. He wants us all individually to go to him and to receive blessing at his hand. And so this woman, Peninnah, really went to the house of the Lord, and she wasn't blessed at all. And I wonder whether you will be blessed when you go to the house of the Lord. You know, let me encourage you with this. God has promised in his word that if anyone went to his house properly, he will smile on you. He has promised that. And so if you go to the house of the Lord and you were not blessed, you have to say something was wrong. Well, it's possible to say it was the preacher or something like that. It's possible. But the first place to look at, according to what we are looking at, is yourself. Did I go the right way? Did I go with the right mind? Did I know what to expect in the house of the Lord? Did I go desiring that which God has promised to grant in the house of the Lord? Or was I entirely careless about that? My dear friends, this is a Peninnah. She went to the house of the Lord rather to make other people sad. You know, she was an ungrateful woman. Can you see that? She was such an ungrateful woman. If you receive a blessing from the Lord, and if you really fear God, every blessing God gives you melts you. It makes you humble. It makes you amazed. You feel your unworthiness. But if you are proud, you begin to think that, but I deserve it.
I deserve it.
You may not say it with your lips, but maybe in your heart. I deserve it. This is why this blessing came to me. And because you see you deserve it, you'd want to show it off. And to be proud in it. So people come notice you. You know, people don't realize that God hates this. God so hates it. And He will not look upon such people with any smile at all, friends. And so, I really want to encourage you to really, as I said, maybe difficult for you to come to the house of the Lord with the right motives. But I recognize the fact that God wants us to come in a certain way. How should we come? How should we come to the house of the Lord so that we will be blessed and helped by God? Hannah is the example. It's not Penina. Penina, the other wife of a man called Elkanah, was not a good example. She went with the right, wrong motives, and she was not blessed. But Hannah, she went. Now, come please with me to verse 8. Look at what happens in verse 8. And 9 in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verses 8 and 9. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? This is the husband worried that Hannah was so anxious and grieved and would not eat anything because Penina the rival had made her very sad. Now verse 9, this is what Hannah did. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. Remember, Hannah didn't partake in the food. She didn't eat yet. She would eat later. We'll come to that. After they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. This is Hannah. She went anyway. When they were going, she was aware that the rival would tease her, that the rival would cast all manner of insinuations against her. But Hannah went to the house of the Lord anyway. And when Hannah went, she went because she knew that this is a house of prayer, a place to pour your heart to Almighty God. And so she would go. She had trouble. She had grief. It even said that she had bitterness of soul. It means that her burden was so deep to the extent that it so disturbs her. And it's so almost was going to tear her apart, if you like, her trouble. But she would tell the Lord. She saw the house of the Lord as a place to go and to pour her heart to the Lord and to call upon Him that God will have mercy and hear her. My dear friends, have you discovered that? That we go to the house of the Lord because it is a place of prayer. You know what that means? A place of encounter with God. A place to go to Him with all reverence and respect, to call upon Him and to lay our troubles at His feet and to ask Him for His blessing. You know why this is possible? God is in heaven. God is the glorious God. God is holy and perfect. We are sinners. How can we approach Him? How would God bow His ears and listen to us? We don't even know how to call upon Him. We don't know how to pray. It's only because it is common. I warn you, friends, and we are concerned about this. Please don't think prayer is the one you often see on television, where people stand and be clapping upon God. They say all kinds of things, and they'll be clapping upon God. It is really reverent. You can't do God before Almighty God. You can't do that. You can't go to God and say you pray in that form. No, you go with your heart. You want to tell Him what's in your heart. You only say it with your lips. You say it very carefully because you know He's the Almighty God. You say it with every. You say it because you believe in Him. You believe that He can answer. But my dear friends, until the Savior changes you, you don't have that kind of belief in God. You can't really pray. I know you can stand there and mutter some things, be saying some things with your lips, but you can't really enter into real prayer until the Lord Jesus Christ has changed you and brought you to God. This is what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that there's a huge war between us and God so that He cannot hear us. Our sins have become a huge war. How can we go to the house of the Lord and find it a place of prayer?
if our sin stand in the way, if we would not want our sin removed and taken away, how can we go to Him and cry to Him, my dear friends? And so you see, even though the church, the house of the Lord, is supposed to be the place of prayer, you won't be able to access that blessing as long as you haven't been washed. And the Lord Jesus hasn't changed you and given you a new heart. It is for that reason He went to the cross of Calvary to purchase forgiveness of sins and access to God, so that we may know Him, so that we may really love Him and walk with Him. I'm sure you, and unless you have a special contact there, you know, nowadays, if you went to a hospital, and you went a poor person with no penny, with no peso in your pocket, and you went to a hospital, and you went to the receptionist and said, "Well, I want to see the doctor." Well, you know, the first thing they ask you, "Do you have health insurance?" And they say, "No, I don't." "Do you have money to pay for it?" You say, "No, I don't." Well, you know the straightforward answer. "Well, we can't take care of you." Well, you are still in a hospital, and yet you won't be catered for. Now, if I do not trust in the Savior, if I am not His, even though I'm in a church environment, you will not be able to access the blessing of calling upon the Lord and knowing that He answers you, because you are not His. Now, Hannah did something. It's so beautiful. I want to come to that. Verse 11. So Hannah wanted to pray, but look at verse 11. "And she vowed a vow," this is Hannah, "and she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.'" Something always baffles me about this part of Hannah. Now, Hannah comes to the house of the Lord, and she's coming to ask for a child. Now, Hannah comes to the Lord and said, "O Lord, give me one child." Why one? Her rival has at least four. If Anna is coming to ask in order to match up with her rival, she should ask for at least four, isn't it? So at least if the woman is displaying all the four, and she calls them, you know, if they were living in a compound house, and Penina called her four children and said, "Hey, play in the ground," all these kind of display things, well, Hannah too could call hers and let them also display. So there's an equality in the house. But Hannah was asking for one. One child. Why? My dear friends, do you know, it pushes the idea further for us. There's something. You have to be knowing the Lord before you know that God's house is a place of prayer. Hannah didn't desire that child as an opportunity for show. Hannah didn't desire it for that. If she wanted show, she would have asked exactly as the rival had. She wanted only one. Or she wanted a child. In fact, the reason why she even wanted it, would even mention it later. Hannah wanted only one. So you see, Hannah knew that it was entirely an act of disrespect to God to bring God down to be used to make you compete with people. "I want God to be my help and to give me this and this and that, oh, so that I can be like every other person." You bring God down? Should He serve your interest? Almighty God, who made the whole universe, He must be my servant too, so that I tell Him what to do for me, just in order to be able to look in the face of my rivals and say, "I also have some." No, friends, you can't do that. And so Hannah shows us that you will be blessed in the house of the Lord if you come without any desire for show. Without any desire for show. This is a world of show. And it's a temptation to young persons. This is a world of show, so that I may be seen, so that I may be admired, so that people may point fingers at me. Friend, do you want that kind of life? My warning is, if you want that kind of life, you put God out. God won't smile upon you. He won't be your help. You come looking for Himself. And then, anything you ask Him, you would ask because you actually needed to meet a need in your heart, not necessarily to make you show off and to match up with others. And so, friends, this is what Hannah recognized. God is the mighty God. I am going to Him. I'm going to ask Him for one child, only because that's what I needed. Now let me go on straight away to the next one. You know, Hannah asked for that one child. Listen to that passage in verse 11. And it also surprises us, friends. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, that's a boy she means, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. Did you find it strange? Hannah is asking for one child. Okay, we allow that. Okay, maybe she didn't want four because it would be too troublesome. So only one. But even that one, Hannah says, Lord, give that one child to me, and I will give him to you forever. He will forever dwell in your house. I don't care whether I will see her or not. The boy will be yours. This is strange, isn't it? Now, have you heard it before? Everyone's first child is dear to them, isn't it? And sometimes it's the fathers who show this even more in a pronounced way. You know, it often happens. It's quite interesting that maybe the men here are very special, but for some of the men I sometimes hear, when they get their first child, when they have their first baby, that first baby usually is so dear to the man, of course to the mother also, but sometimes so dear to the man that because it's the first child, if the child cries in the midnight and everybody is tired, well, the man doesn't mind at all, telling maybe the wife, okay, you can sleep, I can pick up the child. And she can do all that sacrifices. But sometimes when it gets to the second and third and the fourth children, by that time the man is tired of children. And so this time the baby cries and he will nudge the wife and say, well, go and get her, go and get the baby. Because he still loves the child though, but you know, he's grown used to it. Well, friends, I'm saying this to see what a dear child this boy would have been to Hannah. And yet she is going to give her to the Lord entirely. She wouldn't see the boy, and Hannah wouldn't mind. Would you have your only child and send him to your mother in the village? You wouldn't see that child. Oh, friends, why did Hannah do that? Friends, there's something in it that is why. You need the Lord to touch you and to change you. You need the Lord to bring you to Himself. You know, Hannah wanted that one child because she wanted that one child to be a special, precious gift from her hand to God. If she had four and she was giving one to God, probably it wouldn't feel that precious. Only one, Lord. But I want to give him to you. If she wanted to be better than her rival, it would not be in how much she has more than her rival. It would rather be what she does with hers. Hers is for the Lord. Peninnah's is for herself. The house of the Lord. When you come to church, my dear friend, this is the ultimate you should desire. This is the highest thing you should desire. What it is? What is it? Oh, that I may offer unto God something precious, something so dear. And what would that be? Your money? No. Perhaps to be ready to occupy some position for the church? No. What is that which is precious before God? Something you can't bring to God, and it's so precious. Friend, it's your heart. It's your heart. Not because it's precious in itself, but because that's all you can ever give God that is worth anything. Because when the heart is given unto God, God will change it, and then you become a new person. Then your whole life can become an offering to God, because you will live for Him. If you are not willing to give God your heart, everything else you give Him is so inferior. Once again, not because your heart is wonderful, wonderful in itself. No, but because that is what God would want to receive and change and make it a blessing. If you are not willing to yield to God your heart, you are not willing to offer Him the best of gifts. He is willing to receive that once again, not because it is wonderful, but in mercy. That's what He wants to receive from us. Hannah, why did Hannah give her child? Well, because her heart was already God's. And so she could give also her gift to the Lord, and it to be acceptable to Him. Only one child, and I want to give that child to God. This is Hannah's desire, and that should be your desire also, friends, this morning. Why do you come? Why do you go to church, friend? I urge you, come in such a way that you want to give your heart to the Lord. Something precious, something dear, something that would alter everything. When we say your heart, we are referring to coming to God so that He puts in you that strength and power that will control everything you do. When we say the heart, we are referring to that which controls everything you do. How you think, how you behave, how you act, how you make your decisions. That's what we mean by the heart. We do not mean the physical heart that pumps blood, but we use it to represent that which controls, which is the very center of your life. In other words, controls everything you do. There is, we or sometimes say we call that a principle. There's a principle within you, something that rules you, something that is the master planner of everything you do. As if a person gives his heart to the Lord, what he does is to come to God and say, "Oh Lord, I want you to become the master planner, the center of my life, the one who controls everything I do and say and decide upon." If that becomes true of me, then of course I would truly know the Lord, my dear friends. Why? I want to repeat this. Unless you are willing to give your heart to the Lord, you will not be blessed in His house. In God's house, it's the heart He receives and blesses. Now, Hannah gave this child to the Lord. He said no razor would touch the boy's head. It means the boy became a Nazarite. A Nazarite in those days was somebody who had been given to the Lord. So he stays in God's house all the days of his life. He will not live a normal life like the others. He will stay in God's house. He will not drink wine. He would not touch the dead body and things like that. But it was a sign that this person is wholly dedicated to God. He doesn't belong to anyone else. Friends, when you come and yield your heart to the Lord, that's what happens. You give Him your heart, you give Him your life and say, "Oh Lord, I will not be anyone's master, anyone's servant. I will be your servant alone. I will live only for you. You will rule my life and govern it. I will not be a servant to any opinions of this world. I will not live controlled by the ideas that's all around me. I will be a person that lives only under your rule." That's what it means to yield to God your heart. And that's what Hannah did. And that's the best she brought. And look at something that happened, because she was blessed. When she did that, she was blessed. We read nothing about the blessing of Penina, who came to the house of God only to ridicule another. She went away the same person. She wasn't blessed. But Hannah was. This was what Hannah did. And if I can tell you, perhaps I don't need to tell you. You see, she came rather a heavy-hearted woman. She didn't come to dance. She didn't come to giggle and laugh and go away and say, "Ha ha ha, I think I'm happy." No. Oh, friends, before I get to the place, I want to tell you this. My dear friends, you know, let no one deceive you. Usually, people can take advantage of your youth. When you're a young person, you will think that, I can go to the house of the Lord and then when I have my good jokes coming, either from the preacher or something like that, it will be a happy place for me. Friends, you will meet real challenges in life. And you will realize no amount of jokes, whether from the pastor or anybody, no amount of dancing can relieve you. You need someone who has power to touch your heart. It's not a preacher. No one. If a preacher shows you that he has power to rain down something over your head, you know he's a liar. The preacher's work is to point you to the one who can do it. The Lord Jesus Christ alone. My dear friends, there are deeper troubles in life, and you would know it. When you're a young person and life seems manageable now, surely we pray that things will be manageable, but surely you will come to meet the difficulties. This is life, my dear friends. I'm not telling you to scare you. I'm only telling you to realize that there is only one place where our hearts can truly be blessed, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So friends, desire that when you went to His house, you came to know Him, and your heart was His. You yielded your heart to Him, and that He received you, and washed you, and changed you. Would you desire this? I went to the house of the Lord. I went so that I may give God my heart. It's a sinful heart. It's a rotten heart, defiled heart. But I went to give it to Him, that He, because of His shed blood on Calvary, because He went to the cross of Calvary to die, to pay for sins, I may have my heart washed and a new nature put into me. And then you will truly be blessed. Hannah was blessed. Now come to verse 18. Verse 18 of that chapter. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away. And indeed, and her countenance was no more sad. What happened was that when Hannah was praying, the way she was praying seemed strange to the pastor there, the priest Eli, and she thought that Hannah was drunk. And so after he had tried to reprove Hannah, Hannah explained her case, that she wasn't drunk, she was really in earnest, and that her troubles were deep, and so she was praying to the Lord. And then the priest understood Hannah and said, well, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord grant you your request. And then the Bible tells us, Hannah went away. She's not gone home yet. She's not conceived yet. And yet, she went away and she wasn't sad. Hannah went away. Her sadness was gone. And she went to the table to be able to eat. She wasn't able to eat in the past. Now she's eating. She's relieved of her trouble because she poured her heart truly to the Lord. The Lord blessed her, first of all, with assurance that her prayers will be answered. Now, when a person gives his heart to the Lord, when a person comes to the Lord and says, oh Lord, I do not want to rule my life anymore. I yield to you now. Wash away my sins and be my Lord and my Savior. Govern my life entirely. If the person is sincere, you know, God will hear you, and at once you would know that He has washed away your sins. He would relieve you of the burden of sin, the shame, the guilt of sin He takes away. And so Hannah felt that the burden was gone, and down there we are told, verse 20, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The Lord gave Hannah the son that she asked for. God answered her. My dear friends, now, this is something about Christianity. Christianity is being taught so that you personally come to know God for yourself. so that you know how to pour your own heart before Him and receive from His hand answers to prayer. This is Christianity, my dear friends. Christianity is not really running after a certain man or woman somewhere so that he does the things for you. Please, that's not Christianity. Christianity is that I am shown how I come to God. I am shown how I yield my heart to God so that for myself I may taste what it is to have answers to prayer. I go to God and tell Him about my situation and He answers me. Friends, it seems it's in the heads of some people that there are always some select persons who can tell God things and God will answer. So let's go and tell them. Perhaps it's the prophet. Perhaps it's the priest. Perhaps it's the pastor over there. Let's go and put the troubles upon him. He has a special way of going to God and getting the blessing for us. But that's not what God's design. That's not how God has planned things. I don't know whether any of you do that. Yeah, I would really humbly urge you never to do that. I hear that some people, and some of those that people around encourage people to do that. People have their so-called prophets that they go and tell them about everything. And so they go and tell them, well, I've gotten a new capital from the bank, a loan. I'm going to start a business. And he brings it to the pastor. Maybe the loan will stay with the pastor for maybe 3 days or so. And the pastor will do fasting and prayer over it. And before he hands over that kind of thing, the money to the person, all this kind of thing is happening. Oh, my dear friends, if you desire to know the Lord for yourself and to really walk with you, don't do any of those things. What you need is to personally go to Him and give Him your heart. If your heart is His and He knows and accepts you, you will pray and He will answer you. God delights to answer prayer. He answered Hannah's prayer. And you know, He even answered far more than Hannah thought. He gave Hannah the son, Samuel. Hannah gave that son to the Lord. Hannah stayed, this boy Samuel, stayed in the house of the Lord all the days of her life. And later, God gave Hannah 5 more children. Hannah didn't ask for those ones. My dear friends, if you are not a Christian, let me tell you a secret you don't know. You will never know it, even if I tell you now, unless you first give your heart to the Lord before you can actually embrace that secret. You don't know. Do you know, Christians, there are a whole number of things in this world that God may give it to us. But you know what Christians do? They don't put their eyes upon them. They don't seek it. They don't fix their eyes upon them and say, oh God, I want to become a millionaire. Oh God, I really want to have 3 cars or things like that. You know why Christians don't do that? Because their heart is for the Lord. If they did that, their hearts would be divided. So they don't attempt that kind of thing. All they want, like Hannah did, is they give their hearts wholly to the Lord. Oh Lord, what you give me, I want to give it entirely back to you. And what is greater than my own heart and life? I want my life to be yours and yours alone. And then their Father, God who is their Father, in His wisdom says, oh, that's my child. Okay, he may need this also. I'll give it to him. That's my child. May need this also, and He gives it to them. If you are not a child of God, if you are not a Christian, you see where your problem lies. You rise up and think, I think I need this kind of thing. I think I need this kind of thing. I think I need this kind of thing. The problem is, you think you need them more than you need God. And like Penina, you need them for show. You need them to be noticed. You need them so that people point fingers at you. You want to bring God down. To make Him your servant, to serve your interests. You can't do that, my dear friends. You see what a great son it is to attempt that. Oh, that you discover that we come to God and we yield to Him our hearts. We say, oh Lord, my heart will be yours. This is all I can give you. My very life. I want to live for you. I want my life to honor you. I am a sinner. I am unclean.
This life I'm giving you is unclean. Oh, wash it. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the Calvary's cross so that I can be washed for His sake and for His sake alone. Wash me and change me and make me your child. And once you become a child of God, you will taste what it is to have your prayers answered. Friends, I say this, come to the house of the Lord in order to bring your heart to the Lord. Otherwise, you won't be blessed. If you have any other reason, you won't be blessed from the hands of the Lord. Men can do all manner of things to entertain you, but you will never receive from the hand of the Almighty God His own blessing. Because His way of blessing is to first receive your heart, wash it, change it, make you His child. Then He will so deal with you as a child. All the days of your life, He will help you. He will support you. He will bless you. He will hear your prayers also. Come to Him, my dear friends. Come and yield your heart right now to Him. Let's pray together. Oh God, our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, oh, give us understanding this morning. You know, oh Lord, that we come to Thy house with all manner of thoughts and even prejudices. Oh, how can we be blessed when our heads are already filled with all things that are unworthy in Thy sight? Look upon us, gracious Father, and grant us light. Show us Christ. Show us our need. Show us that it's our hearts that need to be brought to Thee, that it may be washed and cleansed and made new and be brought into contact with Thee, so that we may know You as our God and our Father and know wonderful answers to prayer. Bless us, Father, and look upon us this morning and make it a morning of salvation for some friends. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.